Welcome back to the John Tesh Network, where we bring you intelligence for your life 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at Tesh.com. In the iTunes Store and the Google Play Store, just search for John Tesh and you can download the official John Tesh application absolutely free. Install it on your phone or your tablet and you can take intelligence for your life with you wherever you are. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. My name is Mark Edwards, and we are welcoming back a guest who we had on just a few days ago to talk about something that's really timely this time of year. Her name is Jen Hancock, and when we were on before, we were talking about bullying, but now we want to talk about something else that is probably going to affect a lot of you at this time of year. It's the kind of stress that comes up when you have a situation of people with different faiths and different beliefs who get together during the holidays. Jen, thank you so much for joining us again.
Well, thanks for having me back on.
Now, you are a humanist, and Right. Because you did such a great job explaining it last time, please explain what that is and how that ties into what we're talking about.
Sure. A humanist is someone who is ethical for the sake of being ethical. All right. And it's not a religious philosophy. It's an ethical philosophy. So as someone who teaches humanist life skills, how to be ethical, how to approach other people with compassion and responsibility, which is skills everybody needs to re-up on, regardless of your belief or non-belief. Right. We all need reminders to be ethical in difficult situations. But it's particularly around the holidays where you end up with these conflicts over, you know, how much religion, how little religion, not enough religion, and these conflicts within the family, especially if a child, an adult child, has left the faith of the parents. There's often conflict about that when they get together for the holidays. And the question is, how do you deal with that? How do you make it pleasant and respect the differences despite the hurt and the betrayal that the parents might feel if their child's abandoned their faith, and things like that? It really is an issue that comes up and can get exacerbated. So instead of the holidays being this time of loving each other, it becomes, oh, you know, let me try to convert you back.
And we're not trying to make an assumption here or trying to get people to change their beliefs. What we're trying to do is get people to get along at a time where you don't always see the family any other time of the year, or you don't get to spend as much time with them as you do at the holidays. So it's really more about coping skills as opposed to conversion or anything.
Right. And that's what we have to remember, is that if you don't want someone trying to use that time to try to tell you whatever it is you believe is wrong, and it's just as wrong for an atheist to try and convince someone of faith that they're wrong as it is, you know, the other way around, you know, instead of focusing on, you know, not only the coping, but the compassion and the love. And, you know, if we didn't care, and this is the advice I give to people all the time, you know, when they're dealing with these family relationships that are strained over the faith question, is it wouldn't, if you didn't love each other, this wouldn't be an issue.
Very wise, very sage advice to look at it that way.
Right. So the fact that they care, you know, and you care about each other is why there's a conflict. And when you can remember that it's about the love, then you can work past, that's your starting point. Then you can, you know, express the disappointment or the grief that you might be feeling over the differences in a way that's understood as grief as opposed to anger.
We're speaking with Jen Hancock, and her website is jen-hancock.com. We'll spell that for you later, too, to make sure you get it exactly right. About kind of the conflicts that come up this time of year when it comes to religion and the holidays. The whole concept, I would think, is to try to make sure that you take away the stress and you take away the ugliness that can happen, because sometimes families can be the ugliest to each other, more ugly than they can be to strangers or people they do business with or anything else.
Right. And that's because we trust that they're still going to be there after the fight. Right. They can't leave us, their family. you know, but that doesn't mean we should allow our frustrations and whatnot to escalate. And I think what a lot of times happen is, you know, there's these disagreements. They don't know how to talk about it without getting angry at each other. So then they agree to sweep it under the rug and not talk about it at all. But it's still there in the background, because at the heart of the problem is they don't respect each other's different views.
So if that's the case, and you're right, it is like the big elephant in the corner in a lot of cases, how do you deal with it?
By learning how to talk about it in a loving way, that, you know, if you're a child and you don't believe the same thing as your parents, you know, express your love for them. Understand that they're pained by this. You know, when I counsel atheists on how to deal with their religious parents, which are sometimes ministers, you know, I say, look, the reason they're upset and what you're hearing is anger is actually grief. They expect to see you in heaven. And because you don't believe the same thing they do, they're now looking at a prospect of heaven without you. And that's really, really painful for them. And when you understand that as the non-believer, it helps you help your parent by acknowledging their grief that they've lost you to heaven. Right? How different is that conversation than, I just don't believe the same thing as you, and stop pestering me?
It must open up a much more honest and open communications channel than just saying, I don't agree with you, and then whatever nasty thing I can't repeat here on the radio show.
Right. And the, on the other side, for the parents, a lot of times they're expressing their anguish and their grief, but we know grief comes with anger. And for the person on the receiving end of that grief, they don't hear your grief. They hear your anger. And it's really important that the parents understand that when they challenge their child on whatever belief they adopted, which happens to not be theirs, that the child is translating that, even as an adult, as disappointment and anger and disappointment and anger. And they've disappointed their family and they don't know how to fix it without abandoning what for them is their truth. And I don't think anybody wants anybody to abandon their truth. But how do we express ourselves and express the real emotions we're having without putting these emotions on the other people? So you don't want your kid to think you're angry with them because you're grieving and you're going to miss them in heaven, right? That's not what the parent wants to convey, but that's what the child is hearing.
Exactly. And we're speaking with Jen Hancock about the kind of tension that can happen in a family where you've got people with different religious beliefs and how that kind of boils over a little bit during the holiday season. When you are talking about dealing with this and bringing the discussion out into the light, who's better to do that, the child or the parent?
The child. It's, you know, I normally counsel the child, and that's because if you're in grief because your child's not abandoned whatever faith you have for whatever else they've gone to, it's really hard for someone in grief to think rationally about what the emotions are they're experiencing, because grief is painful. All right. It's much easier to set aside your frustration that your parents are angry with you and think more rationally and compassionately towards them and what their experience is in this dynamic than it is for someone in grief to step outside of that grief.
And is it something you bring up like at the big holiday dinner, or you want to have it at a different kind of time, right?
Yeah, you can have this conversation on the phone. And usually once the child acknowledges the parent's point of view is valid, while not to abandon their truth as a person, but to acknowledge the parent's experience as real and, you know, a real emotional experience for them, it opens up this dialogue, and usually these conflicts that have been festering for years are gone in a day. Because what happens out of that is the parent begins to understand that what they've been doing is pushing their child away from them and expressing their anger and frustration with their child, and they don't want that any more than the child does. You know, so you have to acknowledge the pain and the frustration on both sides without pointing fingers to be able to have this conversation. But the holiday dinner is not the time to have the conversation. This conversation needs to occur beforehand with compassion and understanding. And also, I think the other thing is time, that, you know, people process their emotions in very different ways. And these are very emotional issues. And, you know, it can come as a shock, and you have to give people time to adjust to this information, to ask questions, and to encourage them to ask questions in a way that's not angry, you know, and that you're not going to be snarky with them in return for asking these questions, because the goal is to keep the family loving each other despite the differences.
And you do want to get this stuff cleared up, or at least brought out into the open before you get together.
Because otherwise, and it doesn't, you can do this on the phone, you can do it via Skype, whatever, but you need to do it because you do not want these tensions ruining an otherwise happy, what should be happy holidays together, you know? And you don't want people not to show up because they don't want to be hassled over this issue.
Exactly. And that happens probably in way more families than we even know, that people
it happens a lot. People just, you know, they just want, they want to avoid these conversations so bad, and they want to avoid being told that they're horrible people for not believing the same thing so much that they just avoid the family altogether. And that's not helpful to anybody. I don't think. It just breaks my heart when I hear those things happen.
And because the holidays really aren't a time that you should be stressing or making conflict. It's a way to make the whole season better for everybody in the family.
Peace on earth. The motto should be peace on earth, goodwill towards all. And if you're not willing to extend goodwill to your family members, you need to think twice about what your values really are.
Jen Hancock, that is amazing and very, very valuable intelligence. Tell me where people can find out more about you and this topic and other things that you talk about.
I have a hub website called jen-hancock.com, and from there you can find my other blogs. I have a blog called Humanist Happiness, which is just basic little posts on how to be a better person, how to deal with your emotions more effectively, things like that. And I have a 6-week course called Living Made Simpler, which is a humanist life skill course that I teach all of these things from compassion and ethics to responsibility and decision-making and getting your emotions out of your decision-making so you can be more rational about how you approach conflict.
And again, that's jen-hancock.com. And Jen Hancock, thank you so much for sharing your intelligence with us today. This is going to probably make some people's holidays much less stressful than they thought they were going to be.
Well, good. I hope it does.
And now with some more intelligence for your life, here is John Tesh.